True freedom comes from within.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Sovereign States of Mind podcast, where we explore what it means to reclaim authority over our own lives. My name is Jordan Erbs, and I'm excited to have you along for the ride. I believe developing our own independent ways of thinking and being in this life is the first step to exploring the potential experience we can have during our short time on this earth. My intention with this podcast is to have the conversations that help you realize that true freedom comes from within. For your convenience, this podcast is available on all major podcasting platforms, so head over to your favorite app and give us a subscribe and follow there, and you can be notified when there's new episodes. We also appreciate nice reviews if you like what you hear. And sovereignstatesofmind.com offers an option to be notified by email when there is a new episode, or even if you're interested in the content but not quite sure you have the time to invest in listening to an hour-long conversation, we do sum up the episodes pretty in-depth in that weekly email. So that's at sovereignstatesofmind.com. Just pop in your email. We'll only use that email to send you updates from what's going on with this show. So without further ado, let's get into this episode.
Sovereign States of Mind.
Today is a very special episode, part two of a series we're calling The Masculine Frontier. With me is Nicholas Jordan Moore and Stefano.
Yeah.
And we have a host of topics to talk about today. We want to explore love and vulnerability, being wakefully sovereign amidst distractions, the freedom to live and to think and to be without others' opinions, healthy ways to channel sexual energy, forgiveness and parents, and insecurities are just a few topics we have in store for you today. But first, I want Nick to tell us a little bit about his book and why it's so important for a man to start confronting his shadows from his past.
Thanks, Jordan. If we don't, and it's not just important for a man, it's important for all people. If we don't really be honest and reflect on things that, you know, didn't go well, or that we may have done wrong or wronged someone or hurt someone or anything of the sort that you have shame or guilt about. And I said this in the last podcast, the only way that you're going to continue to actually get over those things and actually move on is to confront them and talk about them. So my book is, first and foremost, the reason why I wrote it was really to set an example. Because we're all human and we all do fucked up things. We all make mistakes. We all hurt people. It's just part of it. And of course, we don't want to hurt people. We want to just do the right thing all the time. That's just not how life works. And if we try to ignore the things that we do wrong or just bury it down underneath a bunch of stuff and not bring it back up, it's going to come back. We've got to confront our shadows. We really have to be honest with ourselves. I think that's one of the hardest parts for people, really, truly be honest about why you did things or how something happened. And I write about this in my book, the hardest lie to let go of is lying to ourselves. You know, when you first enter into, like, you wake up, you're like, all right, I'm not lying ever again. Like, I just care about honesty so much. Like, no matter what, I'm just going to be the most truthful person ever. And, you know, we start doing that on the outside. It's a little bit easier. And sometimes it's difficult, especially, you know, sometimes it's best not to say your truth if the truth isn't going to make someone happy or put a smile on their face. Sometimes it's just best not to speak at all. But lying to ourselves is the most difficult one to truly let go of, and it's the toughest one to see. You really have to do a lot of self-reflection and a lot of inner work to actually be able to recognize the lies that you're telling yourself. So yeah, there we are. It's a good little introduction to the book. There's, of course, so much more, and I'm sure that we'll hit on some of those topics as we go through this list that we comprise.
And I love that you share that. I love how clear and concise your message is. As someone really digging into what it means to build a personal brand, the most important yet difficult thing to build is your message. And it requires being flexible. It requires some evolution. It requires of being willing to meet your audience
somewhere in the middle of what you want to share and what needs to be heard and what people are gravitating towards. So Stefano, what is your branding experience? What do you have going on and how does that relate to the vulnerability?
So I have been working with Copyvine, also known as Ayahuasca Vine, which is 100% legal, and formulating it so that people can have controlled regular doses of this plant ally. What happens in that time is that people can feel themselves just a little bit more. When you have this over long periods of time, you start getting messages. That's all I'm going to say. And actually, that's probably not all I'm going to say. There's a lot to say. But what I do, the emphasis right there is that it's your personal journey. It's your personal messaging, right? As you were saying before, it's this internal thing that wants to speak. And this is the way my thing is coming out. My brand of genius, my inner spark of the soul, that, you know, there's this plant that has worked with people for tens of thousands of years. This is a birthright. This is something that has been hand in hand with people guiding, bringing the animal and plant world together in very practical ways. This is not something that takes you out of your body. This is a non-impairing plant. And of course, it depends on dose. But the whole thing, and I think my message is just practically integrating the spiritual into everyday life, and which cultivates meaning, which cultivates purpose, which cultivates the emotional fuels that help us serve life.
That's absolutely beautiful. And maybe we can come up with a flow where we can shift the mics here and there if you want to take that out there. We haven't had more than two guests on the show before, so today we're playing around with technology.
Blazing trails.
So one thing that you said about bringing that awareness to our everyday lives, I love how we can relate this to our social media relationships. Because for so long, the narrative is kind of like social media is bad for you, essentially. It's garbage we consume. It's garbage we put out because the algorithms and the nature of these mediums in general is about aesthetics. It's about looking good. It's about bright colors. It's especially when we're talking about Instagram and these visual mediums. Same thing on Twitter. There's garbage in the sense of whether it's conspiracy theory or it's kind of political mumbo jumbo things that trigger you. But then on all these platforms, there's actually really valuable content too, being created and put out by people like you and me. Things that we've learned. It's our earned insights in our experience in this life. And so when we talk about having a daily practice of just getting aware again, I love that working on our message as our brand is also that form of sharing an expression that innately we do seek on social media. We do inherently want to share with others. That's like who we are. But it's been conflated by just the way our society works to make it all about cars, butts and money.
Not totally agree with you. In any advancement in technology that we've had throughout human history, there's always going to be the bad and the good that comes from it. One of the most notable examples is the atom bomb, nuclear energy. Well, every time that we unlock more of our infinite potential power, we see that there's also the negative side that comes along with it. Social media is an incredibly powerful tool to really make a positive impact on the world. And a lot of people are doing just that. A lot of people get a lot of wisdom and insight and just help through seeing others on social media. But again, there's that yin and yang. There's always going to be the bad that comes with the good. And there's a lot of people that just want to, all right, we don't need any more technology. Social media is terrible. Like, you're just resisting change. Embracing change is the best thing you could possibly do because it's never going to stop. Change is one thing that will never stop. And if you try to resist that and think that we're going in a negative way, I promise you, there's always going to be good things coming from advancements in technology, but there's going to be bad things as well. Wherever you want to focus is what you're going to get. If you focus on the negative, you're going to be living in that negative. You're going to be wanting to tell everybody about the negative. Like, you need to learn about all the stuff I'm learning about because this is what the world's really like. Like, and then you're just spreading fear, and that's not fun energy to be around, but you know, it's an interesting thing. People believe in all sorts of things, and especially like conspiracy theories. And I'm not saying that all conspiracy theories aren't true, but it gives us something that, okay, I have the real knowledge. This is the real stuff. I know the truth, and I need to go tell everybody else this truth. Hollywood's all full of pedophiles. You know, they're living in underground caves and drinking on babies' blood, and yeah, it gets pretty wild out there. But yeah, you can focus on the negative or you can focus on the positive, but your life is going to reflect on what you focus on. If you focus on the negative things and all the terrible things in the world, and I'm not saying that the bad things in the world don't need to be looked at. We need to look at them and actually, you know, have real conversations about how we can potentially solve some of these issues. But focusing on the daily and just trying to spread that, hey, everybody that has money is terrible. Everybody in Hollywood's evil. I was talking to Vidi Potty on the way here. I stopped to get a little shot.
He said that
everyone in Hollywood with big noses are living in caves. And like he believes it. Like, it's this old Hare Krishna guy. He's but yeah, Vidi Potty.
Yeah.
I think that's my two cents.
That there is, yeah, what I heard was if we give our attention, what's the saying? Make a discipline out of something that doesn't really serve us, right? If we get good at, if we major in minor things, now, is it a minor thing? I don't know. However, but if you become very good at slandering the change, slandering the thing that you're scared of, and you're not actually investing in the kung fu of learning how to move past it, right? I think the force that you're trying to defend against is actually taking you. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the best things you could do is proactively work on yourself, know yourself, get honest with yourself, learn ways through yourself to be more honest. Like there's the saying of, we already know everything. The teachers only teach us what we already know. And to really invest in ourselves is something that I'm scared of. I'm scared of opening my vision book every week and really crafting my life from my personal life to my professional life. It is this I've been indoctrinated into just serving other people and just getting back to the sovereignty of, no, this is the life force that's moving through me. This is the way that I want to proactively create. I'm very much introverted. I can hang out in my little jungle lab, but I know that I need to get my message out there if I'm really going to help people. So one, connecting to bros like you, other kings like you, is a big deal. Another thing is embracing social media is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I spent 12 years hiding from myself. Like I have been trying to build a personal brand for 12 years and more than that really, but like since the beginning I've been there observing it going like, okay, like some part of me knows that I'm meant to be there sharing myself, yet every possible excuse would show up along the way. A lot of it was intimidation of the work involved, because you have to have hard work. You have to do the hard work if you want results in any aspect of life. It's not just social media followers, but you have to do the work. And not just the work, you have to learn what the work is. You have to learn what you have to do, and you have to practice it and figure out how to do it yourself. Like I was always a really bad student in high school and college, but I was like always getting good grades because I just had my own way of learning. Like, and I was in the classroom fucking off, you know, and pissing off teachers. We had a teacher senior year where we sang happy birthday to her every day of the year, every day of the school year. And a different guy would start it every day. And some days you'd think we'd forget and it would start. And she was a sweet, sweet little old lady and she was great. But that's kind of the way, like, being a student in traditional institutions makes us behave, where it's like, okay, we need to be more creative about what we're learning, about the information we're taking in. So you need to learn what it takes. You need to do the hard work and you got to be consistent. You got to be there. You have to show up. And these lessons that exist everywhere. It's not just how to build a social media following. I mean, I'm only just deciding to start doing the work. I finally got over the fear. Like I said, it took 12 years. And now that I have that 12 years of the one blockage, the very beginning of message, voice. Now that that's gone, there's all these other lessons that suddenly start to materialize. They crystallize like, oh, I learned this along the way. That 12 years wasn't a failure. Look at everything I learned. So it's like when you're building a house, it's going to keep falling if you don't build a nice foundation. I learned that building this house. We didn't start with a foundation. What a great metaphor for what I was going on. We just like put some 4x4s up and laid the steel beams on it. And we got there eventually, you know, I had to learn things. Nothing ever fell, fortunately. No one ever got hurt. But like, you know, we eventually had to lay a foundation. I learned. And now we have a safe house for my children and I to grow up. So point is the foundation of our personal brand is also the foundation of a healthy lifestyle. Look inward, write it down, process it, and then just tweet it. Like it doesn't have to be, or like if you're into fitness, you know, like I don't have a nice space off for the Instagram medium, but I have a really, really good fitness routine and I have really valuable insights to share. And I feel yearnings to share that sometimes. And I don't, because look at my bedroom and we're lucky to have a studio in here. But the point is that I'm doing that every day anyway. All I got to do is stick out my camera. And that's capturing content. That's creating something. Anyone can do this.
And the hardest part for a lot of people is that self-judgment and worrying about what other our friends or whoever is going to think about us online.
And criticism.
Like, I don't have that much to offer. You know, I want to talk about this, but who am I? I'm not a specialist. Well, dude, throw all that bullshit out your head. We all have gifts to offer. We all have stories that can impact somebody. So whatever your offering is, whatever you're passionate about, don't let the opinions of others get in the way of you actually trying. Like, and maybe you, okay, I really care about, you know, doing yoga, or I'm going to do my first yoga. I'm going to do it. And if a year from now, that's not what you're passionate about, that's okay. Don't be afraid to fall. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Dude, people that hate on social media are just really, really unhappy people.
That was like me. I spent 5 years of that 12 years. I started like in the cryptocurrency world, a DAO, a project to fight back against the centralization of social media. Mm. I was passionate. My whole social feeds, I eventually got off. In 2020, I got off of all the social platforms for a few years to focus on this, only to come back in a way, like with my tail between my legs, but also with a new perspective on, you know, how they say you gotta, if you want to make a change, do it from within. Mm-hmm. Do it from within the machine, right? Mm-hmm. Don't fight the machine, work with the machine. And I was kind of flowing with some poetry at the ocean yesterday of just thinking how these algorithms, yes, they have evil in them, in the nature of just like, not evil is a bad term, but they're restricted. They're not human. They're not creative. Mm-hmm. So they just are designed to feed content to you in a certain way and feed your content to others in a certain way. But that's not inherently bad or evil. It is what it is. And it's our job to harness those algorithms, to jump in like a river and swim. Maybe you got to make a canoe. Maybe a kayak's better. Maybe a boat's better. Depends on the algorithm you're playing with. Depends on what your message is and who your competition is. Depends if you're starting a new category, which I think is what we're all doing. There's new popular trending topics that are popping up all the time, and they take a few years to develop. But as long as you're following you and who you are, you will be on that train. You don't have to catch it. You're not going to like be late. Just be you. And then eventually it'll synchronize with the waves of everyone else. And once again, I think that metaphor applies to anything we put energy to in this life.
Coming back to just being you, I love that, because here we are, the three of us, just being ourselves. And yeah, I'm curious where each of you were 2 years ago, because where I'm at is like, maybe I could look at it in 12 years ago, I could look at it in 6 years ago, but really my hardcore, super pressurizing situation was, yeah, around mid-COVID, around 2 years ago. And I'm curious where you guys were at 2 years ago.
I was in a great spot, man. I was just moving to Hawaii. Yeah, it was a big shift. I was, at the beginning of 2020, I was Ubering full time. I'd been an Uber driver for over a year at that point. And we talked about this a little bit last time. There's a quote, actually, I don't know if we hit on the quote, but there's a quote from Francis of Assisi that was really impactful to me, given to me from my teacher in an email named Banzai. But the quote is, first do what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible. When I first got that email and that quote at the end of the email, I was living at my friend's ranch, dead set on never going back to a regular job again. Fuck that. I don't care. My cell phone had even gotten turned off. I didn't even have enough money to pay my cell phone bill. I had to borrow $50 from my friend. Actually, $100 in California. Well, first it was 15, and I was like, I think I need a little bit more. So then they bumped up the money. Because I needed gas to drive back California all the way to Texas, because I lost $4,000 in a bar one night that I had cash on me, which you'll read about that story and how that happened. But it was all the money I had, and I was literally thinking about, I'm leaving the country, I'm never coming back. Fuck police, I'm gone.
Fuck the police.
I was running from my problems, and running from your problems doesn't tend to work out. So I needed to come back to Texas to confront some things, but I'm moved back in with my friend at his ranch. I'm helping out at the ranch. Basic needs are taken care of, but I don't have any way to go to the next level. Like, I didn't have a car. I didn't have a phone. Like, I'm broke. Like, and I don't want to go get a job. Like, screw that business. And I get this email from my teacher, and I'm thinking about joining an ashram at this point, and I'm all over the place. And that quote really put me in the steps to, all right, I just need to go get a job. Who cares what it is? I just need to go get a job. And I went and started selling cars, a job that I thought very lowly of. I thought car salesmen's pieces of shit, like lions, And if you don't like something, if you like have a negative view on something, I really encourage you to go get involved with it. Learn more about it. Jump right into it. There's great people everywhere. There's not so great people everywhere. There's all sorts of people doing everything. So if you have an opinion of all car salesmen are a piece of shit,
I'm better than that. I can't sink to that level for that job.
Yep. You know, go jump into it. Maybe that's not your route, but
there's a meme that I love, and it goes, you need 222, look 444 a job.
For all the people looking for morality of the numbers, what should I do? I don't know.
I was telling Stefano earlier how the only reason I'm doing a podcast production right now is because I didn't get a job. I didn't find the job producing an already big podcast. Mm. I applied to several positions for things that I would love to get behind, I'd love to be a part of. But I was in a state of like, well, I failed. Like, am I doing my own thing? And just accepting it and just not looking at it like I failed. Like, I'm always going to move forward. I got kids to feed. Okay, I'm just going to find a job that pays well. I'm going to put my all into it, even if it's not my interest heart, right? But it's still something I believe in. The podcast host is someone I was like, yeah, he's a cool general. I'll be his, assistant. that's awesome. I didn't get these jobs, and I ended up forcing myself. I was stressed out about finding clients, doing like video editing work that doesn't really make me that happy anymore. I just decided to jump in to making content. So this was about 3 months ago. Haven't made any money since, But I'm like, I'm only going to do this because this is the only thing I want to do. And I needed to find something inside me, the message. I needed to refine my voice. I needed to craft this, this presence that I put out there digitally, because I know it's worth something. I always have known, but this was just this like moment of, I have to jump in here. And I, the reason I bring it up is because I tried to just go get a job. And yeah, it's not a car salesman, but for me, it was saying, well, I'm going to go get a job again. You know, I was 20 years old when I decided, I'm 21, 22, sorry. I'm never getting a job again. Like, I was done. Mm-hmm. And here I was again, well, I got to do what's necessary. Mm-hmm. Got to do what's necessary. Mm-hmm. And so that became working for myself. And now I'm starting to see results, slowly but surely. But I'm starting to see the results that it's real. It's doing the hard work and it's coming from me. There's no distractions about it.
And thank God you're doing what you're doing, because I really appreciate this.
Me too.
And we're all stepping into our power and really coming into what we're meant to do in this world. So glad you're doing it.
Yeah, for sure. Did you want to finish up?
Rest of CC, as far as where I was at in 2020, oh, yeah. I was still in the process of doing what's necessary. Well, I would say that when I stopped selling cars, so I made up enough money to put a down payment. I actually had to get a loan from a friend to get a Chevy Track, a little miniature SUV, so then I could start Ubering. So, all right, I'm done selling cars. I think I can make more money Ubering.
Yeah.
So at first I did what was necessary. Then I'm doing what's possible. All right, I can get a car. I can start working for my own. I can do that. And then I had no idea that I was going to be coming to Hawaii. I had no plan to come to Hawaii. And I was supposed to go to a music festival in 2020 called Bonnaroo in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be my first camping festival. And it got canceled because of COVID. So I was like, I need to go on a vacation. I want to go. And it helps that a palm reader told me that I would meet a dirty blonde hair girl with flowers in her hair, become a dad, and I wouldn't meet her in Texas. So I'm like, where's this girl at? So that was part of my motivation to come to Hawaii. But I've always wanted to come to Hawaii ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Never been, didn't know anybody out here. I started looking at flights, started looking at Airbnbs, and because of COVID, everything was really cheap.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, I think I can just save up a little money and just make this happen, move out there. And faith is taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase. That is my favorite Martin Luther King quote. And I feel like I'm doing that a lot of times in my life. But that's what I did. I didn't know anybody. I drove to California, put my car in a boat. I had like $6,000 in my bank account. I had an Airbnb booked for 4 months. It's like, I'm going to figure this out. And here we are almost 3 years later. And it just keeps going up from here.
You put yourself in a position to figure it out.
Yeah.
So you had a previous aspiration. Mm-hmm. You had, right, from childhood, Hawaii. Mm. You had maybe some external spiritual voice saying, you know, you got to leave Texas. There's more for you outside of Texas. Mm-hmm. And then there was a drive and hunger for more. And that's what got you to buy that ticket to Hawaii.
And that faith.
And the faith.
Just really knowing that if you're moving from your genuine heart center, that you really, really are just trying to do the right thing, trying to make a positive impact on the world, like, and dude, that might not be doing something on a macro level and really doing something big, like a book, like I'm doing. It might be something small and just making an impact on a few individuals. But the only way that you can really step into that power is if you are having faith in yourself to actually take risks. Because if you don't take the risk to actually go get out of a job that you don't like or doing something that you just despise, well, man, you're just going to be stuck there. But having that faith to really step out and be like, all right, I care more about myself and my health and my wealth or my mental health than I do about this security of this salary that I'm getting each month. Like, it's going to kill you. I mean, the majority of your life, most of their life, they're working. And if you're not doing something you don't truly enjoy or actually feel like you're benefiting others or benefiting yourself in some way, well, then I'm all about taking risk in life. It pays off if you believe in yourself, and that doesn't mean that it's just going to be smooth sailing. All right, I'm quitting my job, and man, life's just, I'm taking the risk, Nick. I did what you told me to do. I quit my job. I'm following my dream. There's going to be road bumps. It doesn't mean just because you get your dream job or do what you love doing, there's still going to be other hurdles. It just means there's probably going to be some other confusing things in other aspects of your life. But what we do for a living consumes a great portion of our life. And if you're not happy, if it's wearing you down, that's impacting not just you, it's impacting everyone in your life. It's impacting your kids, it's impacting your spouse. Money is not what's going to cure a lot of relational issues. When you're truly happy, if you're broke, but you have this inner happiness and this inner knowing, your relationships are going to be way better than if you're super rich and you don't have shit inside to show for it.
Video clips and highlights of these conversations on the podcast are available on my YouTube channel. It's called Family in Paradise, youtube.com/familyinparadise. If you really like something you hear and you'd like to sponsor a clip or two, a highlight from one of the guests, you're free to make a donation and we can make a special clip just for you. I know for me, I like to make clips not only for marketing, but also because I want to remember some of the things, these profound things that my guests have said. And I've learned a lot doing this. It's been a great part of my journey towards crafting who I am as a content creator. So you can check out the clips we've already made there on YouTube. That channel is a side project, a way to co-create with my partner creatively. We make videos, just what it's about to live off-grid and homestead, raise kids in Hawaii.
And please donate. Jordan is an amazing dude. He's got two beautiful children, beautiful wife, and he's really giving, and he really is trying to do positive things in this world. I see you, Jordan, and I want people to help support this because I plan on coming onto your podcast regularly for the next, let's say, 7 years. I'm going to live till I'm 109. I'm gonna live past 100. So
all right.
We'll be like 105, and maybe we'll get kind of wild and eat a bunch of mushrooms while we're talking really, really slowly because we can't walk and we're wearing diapers and shit.
Well, thank you. I accept that.
Donate, please. Gratitude. Yep. He's doing great things. And
yeah,
please support the cause.
There are links in the show notes, the episode notes on the podcast apps. I keep forgetting to put them into the live stream descriptions. Leaving a review is another great way to show some love for the podcast on your favorite podcast app. Just leave 5 stars and say something nice. If you like it, you can also be honest and leave 1 star if you don't like it. You're your own individual. Another way you can support the show is to join what most people call a Patreon. It's sovereignstatesofmind.com. We have a monthly subscription. It charges you $4 a month. It's $1 an episode. It's a great way to just show some love. So we're talking about 2020. For me, 2020 was the year of everything. And COVID and the shenanigans were just one reflection of my own inner battlefield. Right. Yeah, and this can go deep or it can stay shallow. I'll start surface level and see what happens. So we got pregnant in June 2019. Yeah, 2019, and this was it. I had been, like I said, failing over and over again. I was a digital nomad. I just traveled. I stayed on people's couches, stayed with friends all over the world. I traded them videography. And it got to a point where my energy, I wasn't really being myself anymore because of all these responsibilities I had to others. Sometimes there were relational, manipulative things going on as well. And I knew I needed to make changes. I always victimized myself and thought it was the outside world that was the reason it was so hard for me. And I need to find someone to be codependent with so then I can make it happen. I can finally just live somewhere and be creative and be myself. So my first ayahuasca ceremony, Yahe, in Colombia was in 2018, at the end of 2018. So just a few months before I met my now partner. And I'd just been coming out of a really deep relationship where it was a full-time job, the relationship. And we were both like, okay, we've done a lot of work together, but it's time to say goodbye so we can see what else life has to offer besides processing through shit all day, every day, because we both go so deep and everything has to be so pure with our communication. I learned for the first time on that ayahuasca journey that I was a victim of myself. I victimized everything in it. I was laughing at myself because the medicine hit me the strongest. The shaman saw it in my eyes. I got the strongest dose of the whole group of 20 people. And it was my first time. No one else, it was their first time. And it was everything they say. I was one with the universe. I knew I could get information from Saturn if I needed it, but I had to stay focused and grounded with my breath. And the challenge was so tough to stay here and there that I eventually had to just let go and let myself go. And while I was gone, it turned into following the spiral, the vine, into my own DNA. I come to a scream piercing the jungle. It was mine. And the shaman was bringing me back with some of the sounds. And it was my blood pierce, my blood curdling scream going on that opened me up. That was it. I created that healing sound that at the time was my requirement. Like we like to say, the plants don't heal you. The plants just open the door for you to see what's going on. So I bring that up because that's the card I was pulling. That's the role I was playing in every relationship, every job or project I was doing. That was my life. I was a victim. I did not own or take responsibility of myself. Takes a few months to integrate that lesson. I was in Argentina working on a film project, met who my wife is now. 4 months later, we get pregnant. Everything flows. Everything is still flowing. 2020 comes along. Her belly's getting big. We're trying to get the fiance visa. And long story shorter than the long story, already made it. We get trapped in Argentina. Okay. Locked down.
Wow.
This is a country that had a military dictatorship as recently as the 80s. It ended in the early 80s. They're used to checkpoints on the street. They're used to people. I mean, still, because the 80s isn't that far long ago. My wife's mom would walk home from university not knowing if she would disappear. It disappeared because they would kidnap anyone remotely close to the left because it was the whole communist threat. It was supported by the CIA. Unofficially, you can look into that, but it was a big deal. It was really traumatic for the country. Sure. Very traumatic. So when COVID came around, they were the first country to be like, well, we're super locking down. Mm-hmm. And there were police checkpoints. We couldn't leave town. We couldn't just take a drive without permission from the government when they eventually got their app going. It was like straight up digital surveillance. Like they were going straight to it. At the time, I was fighting the centralization machine with my projects. I thought that was my mission, was to shed light on how centralization is going to destroy us. And look what starts happening to the media. It becomes the propaganda machine we always knew it was with the whole COVID stuff. And this was affecting my day-to-day. I had been coming from a lifestyle of I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, go wherever I want for 10, 12 years. I just traveled the world. I did anything I wanted. Now suddenly I couldn't do anything I wanted. I had to stay home with my family. I had to learn what that meant, to want that. And I became better shape than I'd ever been in. I studied, I started a business, and we started a family. And so it was a real blessing to just be at home all the time because I don't know how that transition would have gone if I wasn't forced to do it.
Interesting. So thanks for sharing.
Can I hear a little bit more about the resources you called upon during the lockdown? Here you are in Argentina. Your partner is pregnant. You are in a foreign land with a foreign political policy. How do you rise as a sovereign being, knowing what you know, and enter the next step?
Well, I appreciate being interviewed about this. There's some important lessons to learn, and I don't know if I'll be sharing all of them, if they'll come up. One of the really big things about claiming my own sovereignty during that time was my relationship with media. And I'm not saying mainstream media, I'm not saying the news. I'm saying ideas that get thrown around the internet in times of no one knows what's going on. Having been someone that grew up in college watching Zeitgeist, and like, you know, I woke up to the nature of the world being an evil place run by a predator class. I woke up pretty early to that. I have this book up here. Great way to look at, to start learning. Two of them. Lies My Teacher Told Me. great book, and Confessions of an Economic Hitman. They will show you the way the world works very quickly in context that you can understand based on what you learned in grade school and high school about our country, especially. So things that I had already always known and I was rebelling against in my bohemian travel phase, and I'm always starting to go away from because I wanted to become a professional. I wanted to start a business. I wanted to start doing something. And now suddenly we're locked down and the conspiracy theories are wild on the internet. And they still are. I think I've learned to manage my relationship with them. Some parts of me, I don't get scared anymore. Thanks to 2020, I'll loop back around to it. I don't get scared anymore when I read new things and ideas. And so many are just true from a few years ago that are just becoming true. Like no one's even like refuting some of these things where it's like, this could be really scary or it could be an opportunity to step into my own power, take responsibility for my life, become as sovereign and self-sustainable as possible, have my own business, my own way of communicating out there and announcing things, have my little family, build a physical homestead, whatever, whatever. That for me, it was like the only way to be able to disconnect from how alluring those ideas are. And like, we have this reaction to fear, like survival, it's a survival mechanism, like, you know, run, whatever. So we're in the middle, it's like September, we're in the middle of lockdown. At that stage, we were like in a committed lease. We were like, when are we going to leave? Like the embassy was closed. We couldn't get my son's passport. We couldn't get her visa. I was like, we could be here forever. I may never see my family again. I had to legitimately embody that. I had to process through that in my body. I had to feel it.
You had to take it in. Otherwise, you just, yeah, go ahead.
That's how deep the unknown was. That's how.
Does this go back to the ayahuasca experience?
It does. It does in the sense that I knew I was not a victim anymore. I'd gone through right. that. At night, I would catch myself sometimes, and maybe even still, like some tendency, like some neural pathway that still has like a dead end, or, you know, a fork in the road. And you know, you're not supposed to go to the dead end, but sometimes you just want to. You know what I mean? I got that a lot in Argentina, where it's like, well, what the fuck? But I had never been a victim to the state before. That was the first time a lot of us white guys in the Western developed world became victims of the state. Right? I mean, we're taxed all the time. We're robbed from, we're coerced into whatever. But that was the first time it really hit home. And for a lot of people, that woke a lot of people up, right? Like, what the fuck? I can't go into the water because of a respiratory virus. And the silliness of everything, putting up plastic screens, and masks, everything about it. No, you don't stop a respiratory virus. Like, they knew that in the beginning of it all. So the whole thing was just insane. The fact that I'm stuck and I can't do anything because so many people are to believe that this is what's happening, that's how strong the consensual agreement on reality is. Like the hallucination on reality, like and all the different levels, the tiers of that, that's how strong it is. That became very real to me. And I had to observe that from the inside out because I had to say, I might never see my family again. I might live here for all time. Who knows what's going to happen? Had this deep, big process with it. And at the time, I was learning mobility. I was learning to move my spine in new ways, which then the philosophy behind the practice, Budokan, was by moving your muscles in new ways, you're training new neural pathways as well. Mm-hmm. And then while you're studying new ways of thinking, you can retrain your mind. And so moving your body is a great way to, and you don't need any plans for something like that, something anyone can practice at home. That's why people meditate, right? Observe the process. The thoughts, observe how your mind wants to process those thoughts, and then just let it go. So I processed through it. It was fucking deep, fucking heavy. The next day, I get an email from the embassy. Oh, we're opening up again. Your appointment is in 3 weeks to get your son's passport. And I was like, holy shit. I'm getting shivers right now. Just, I was like, what the fuck? And then I emailed them back. And like, it's really strict the way they tell you to make appointments with embassies, especially when it has to do with visas and passports. And I said, look, if we're coming anyway, can we schedule my wife's fiance visa appointment too? Because normally they do the different kinds of interviews on different days. Can we do it the same week? We have to travel all the way to the capital. There's no domestic flights. We had to drive 8 hours with a 6-month-old because they shut down all the flights. And there's different problems in Argentina that they use COVID as an excuse. You know, they've been printing more pesos like nonstop, 90% inflation rate or something right now. So they had to cover their tracks in that regard and say, oh, we got to shut down the flights. And the embassy said yes. yeah, of course you can come both weeks. And we're like, what? We're receiving love from a state, an institution's, you know, outpost. And then we go, we have a great trip in Buenos Aires. The people are all so nice. Everyone loves our son. And then we saw my wife's friends. And then suddenly the next 3 months before we left was heaven on earth. It was paradise. Mm. And it was fine. And it didn't matter. We were in a lockdown because I knew I was getting out. It was that psychological part. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I had gone through that process of accepting the fear, of accepting that the possibilities of that unknown darkness. My greatest fear, you can't ever travel again. And the next day, I get rewarded with what I had desired.
Acceptance and surrender. Surrender specifically is the most powerful position you can be in. I know that seems backwards to a lot of people. But when you're in total surrender, you're ultimately in control because you're saying that I'm allowing anything. That I am okay with whatever comes, like I'm just accepting no matter what.
What is real?
That's an incredibly powerful thing. If you're trying to control things, you're not, you think you're in control, you're not really in control.
Right. And, yeah, for sure. Your story also reminds me of doing what is necessary and then doing what is possible, mm-hmm. right? Because you need to confront that without fully confronting that, you know, because... Right. You did the emails, you did the looking around, you did the accepting, you did the surrender, you did the feeling. And then you just, that's a tough position to be in. You did everything you could. Congratulations.
Pushed you into that growth phase, though. Pushed you into that really uncomfortable, not fun place to be. But that's where breakthroughs happen.
Right. And I had done that before. And that's why I feel like as crazy intense my first ayahuasca ceremony was, I knew how to handle it. Like, I mean, obviously, no, when you're in there, it's a completely different story. But like, I was familiar with the process of like kind of changing something inside of me in order to make things a bit less stressed, I guess. And that was just another process with this whole Argentina thing. I had to apply that to this. And then it comes up. Like there's always new things, right? Where it's like, oh, holy shit, I really have to, like I said earlier, a few months ago, I had surrendered to getting a job. Like I'm a pretty talented and skilled dude. I don't have the like the portfolio or the resume to really prove it mm-hmm. because I've been just doing my own thing, but I have a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately in this world, when you have to be able to have a portfolio, you have to prove the work. Don't just do the work, you have to prove it. Once again, back to personal branding. So my last point on this is I had surrendered to, there was this fear going on. It was also kind of an ego thing of just like, well, I'm better than that. But like, I couldn't even get the job, right? Like I didn't even get the job. And like the crazy part is that this one main podcast host that I wanted to produce for, 3 weeks after we moved back here, and it was in the same time period, his assistant said, yeah, he's going to be gone traveling, but then we could talk. He was in Hawaii and he tweeted, I need help producing an advertisement for my podcast. He's on Kauai. So I got in touch with the assistant. Like, I'd love to go help out. Great opportunity. And I flew over there to Kauai. Fucking wake up at 6 a.m. I don't get home till 9 p.m. Like, for a 2-hour shoot, paid me like $300. Had to do all the different things, only to be completely ignored after. And I had brought it up. Like, I'm glad you're paying me. It's not about the money. I want to just like meet you, shake your hand, like see if we're going to be a good match because I'm really serious about this. Nothing after. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to make a remark on what I would project as his character from that. Mm-hmm. But I did every possible thing to get that job mm-hmm. and to prove myself. Mm-hmm. And the universe, life, God was like, nope, that's not going to happen.
You're supposed to hang out with Stefano and Nick.
I'm a really big fan of Robert Bly and a lot of other type of... thank you. Poets and mystics of the modern era. And there's this one part where in the story, the kid is now responsible for, he's a prince, right? He goes, meets his inner masculine beast, and then he's now ejected from the forest and he has nothing. And he starts working in the kitchens and he's responsible for tending to the gardens or tending to the kitchen fires. And it's the state of being the sooty man, the sooty woman, covered in soot. And we all need to, okay, I will say that in times where people don't get that extreme level of difficulty of doing the shitty jobs, the shit work, you can tell in their kingship or in their queenship, right? If a person doesn't go through those deep, dark, hard times, it will reflect when they finally do achieve their higher states. And so just honoring your story, honoring both of you, I guess we can talk about me. Mine was hard. I'll keep it brief because I have more questions for you. Yeah. But 2 years ago, I literally lost everything. I pretty much believed I was on a PhD track, and then I saw and believed that probably the next step for humanity is learning to live together. It's not some new technology. It's not some ability to go to the moon or to Mars, or it's to actually be able to live together. And so I decided to commit to that. And I had a family, and we were in a community, and eventually all that fell apart. I had a job, and then I started a business. I had a platform to build product within the community, and essentially just everything devolved. And 2 years ago, I was, you know, sitting on the floor of my little jungle lab and crying into my journal and just devoutly recognizing that I'm going to turn this around. Mm. The hardest part about hard times is it affects your sleep. Mm-hmm. It affects your capacity to connect to others, mm-hmm. because your cognition is so low. It affects everything. And really, what's also at the same time beautiful is when it's like something was shielding me from the outside world, telling me there's nowhere else to go but in. Mm-hmm. You go in, Stefano, you do whatever you need to do to coalesce the energy to get out of this, because you were not made for this. You were not made for this. I figured out a safe way to still honor the family. I left the community, and I built from my life from that seed. I remember just having difficulty sleeping and just, you know, just reading other stories of entrepreneurs. And just like not wanting to do the work, like facing my inner child, facing the lazy parts of myself. And it's like 2 a.m. I'm trying to sleep. I can't sleep because I feel so agitated, so unsafe inside my body. And I'm just like, you know what? No, it's time to open up this book and start writing my vision. It's start to like figure out how to pragmatically build X number of units by this month. It's time to figure out which connections do I know, which, and I'm just like writing, and there ends up being this place inside all of that where you just break through, and it feels like a drop of gold lands on your heart. And it's like, you have everything. I was at the pit, and I had everything I ever wanted just in the internal world, just for myself. I had everything because I was so in touch with, I'm not going to find it outside myself. There's nothing outside of myself. And any movement during that time where I reached out either consciously or unconsciously, I was penalized. I felt it. Either people were, you know, in like ill response to me because I was in such a bad mood, or I just noticed things weren't planning out.
And next, we have a musical interlude by the one and only Gabby Holt. She wrote this song coming out of a ceremony, and 3 days later had a video shoot planned to make a music video. I saw her at the beach. We talked. We connected creatively on the same wavelength that morning because I was also experiencing this feeling of channeling creativity and was super excited. So I invited her on to our live stream, and she played a song.
Here we go. I've got another ticket to paradise. I've got another lift off into anything I like. Oh, Mama, Mama Gaia, how you sing so sweetly. Naked feet on the earth and I'm held completely.
Second, there you go. Yeah, I just came through. Yeah, really cool. And then my friend Joshua Rivera, he made all my music videos that I have up for my previous record, and he flew out here, and it was so funny because I knew I was gonna make a video, I knew I was gonna sit with grandmother, and I had no idea which song I was gonna do, and I was like scrambling around trying to figure out which song to record, and it's so funny. He's and Josh is like, Gabby's got this, she's gonna figure it out. And then yeah, got it recorded. We just shot the video all along the Red Road, and yeah, I'm really stoked on it, and it's been really taken care of the whole time. My producer, mentor, and friend that co-produced and produced my record, my last one that we did together. He's my guru's guru. So I had a mentor for 8 years, and it was his mentor that I made my record with, and we became great friends. And it was really cool. I was banging my head against the wall, how to record it, So I wanted to play it live to get that live sound. And it was just lifeless when I did it to a click and did it isolating the sounds together. But Jeff hopped on FaceTime with me for a good 30 minutes or so and helped me get this mic placement so that it's isolated better and got the right patterns. And everything came together really sweetly in a really beautiful way. And it's a good life, baby.
Thank you.
together we are. Together we are.
So after our live music performance, thank you, Gabby, we had some technical difficulties, during which time I explained something new and dear to my heart. It's called creator sovereignty. Own your voice, embody your brand. This has been a message, a premise, kind of flowing through me the last couple weeks. It's made me very passionate and excited because I finally found something that I can add to provide value to this world as someone who believes everyone should be a creator. Everyone is a creator. And that starts with personal branding. This is an intimate four-week session for building the foundations of a powerful personal brand that you can body as a business and lifestyle. My intention is to support all of us inside of it to step into our power as creators. You'll learn everything you need to know to rediscover purpose in your marketing. We'll study and work on creating engaging content, training you to be on camera and speak from the heart, engage people and add value on social media, and start collecting leads with your own self-hosted newsletter and website. All of this is the primary foundation before you do anything else to start making money online. You have to have a brand. You have to have a premise and message. You have to know your voice. You have to own your voice so you can embody your brand. Did you know that many creators are making tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars per month just because they've been doing it long enough? It's a little by little by little until it's a lot. It took me 12 years to realize I had to put my own face on it. And the highest value I offer to this world is not as a filmmaker, an artist, a CEO, it's as me, someone with valuable insights from the lessons I've learned the hard way from my experience on this planet. It is the same for everyone, but it is a process to hone in on what that message you have is to share. You'll get 4 group content creation coaching calls with me, 4 weeks access to my favorite tools, 1 guest slot on the Sovereign States of Mind podcast to start demonstrating your authority, lifetime access to a private community of sovereignty-minded creators, weekly assignments and challenges to help you grow your brand, and feedback from our hand-selected cohort of powerful people. You will also have a chance to offer feedback. Learn what it means to be a sovereign creator. That means you're not just an entrepreneur. You're not just a creative artist. You're not just a coach. You're all of the above. This is a commitment to refining your voice and getting it out there. Podcasting has been a godsend for me and a huge blessing to explore what it is I want to say and learn to communicate it as precisely as possible. It creates this environment for me to practice being pure and authentic. You can learn more and sign up at creatorsovereignty.com. You could also schedule a call with me if you have more questions. You can read more about the investment. I'm leaving most of that up to you. All I would like is my cost to be covered. I think this is a really important program for me to explore on my professional level, and I'd love to just get some testimonials out of this and to see if it actually is valuable. So I appreciate if you're interested in just entertaining this commitment for 4 weeks. Now let's get back into our conversation with Nick and Stefano talking about creator sovereignty.
That's okay. I'm about to be 39 in a month and a half. It took me 39 years to figure out, you know, what my purpose is. So just don't get down on yourself. I mean, some people don't really find their big, you know, business purpose or life purpose until they're in their 40s or 50s. So the most important thing is the voice in your head. Just try to always be positive no matter what's going on in your life. Life's going to happen. It's going to keep on going up and down. There's going to be rough times. You're going to get confused. You're going to get heartbroken. The most important thing is that voice in the head, maintaining that positivity, maintaining that optimism, just knowing that, yeah, it sucks right now. It's going to get better. So again, these offerings are great. What Jordan's doing, I'm excited to be a part of it. But if you're in that stage where like, I'm not going to pay to build my brand because I don't even know who I am and I don't know what my purpose is, that's okay. Just have faith, stay positive, and keep moving forward, and eventually, you know, it'll open up. But
well, it's about being ready to invest in yourself, yeah, to put your money where your mouth is. I was never there. It took me a long time to get there.
And learning these skills even before you know what your thing is really, really valuable. So yeah, it can be helpful for a lot of
the. Well, that's the method I'm trying to share here, and I think the microphone, these microphones were off while I read that whole thing, so probably no one even heard it. But I'm glad Stefano got to hear the new message. Creatorsovereignty.com, you can check it out. But it's basically this like mastermind cohort accountability group that I'm starting on August 16th, where anyone who is feeling the resistance to starting their personal brand and getting out there can join. We'll go over everything we need to know about making content, the technical aspects and the personal aspects about processing through things, turning thoughts and ideas into actual content that can be consumed by audiences out there, how to attract an audience, the right audience to you. Check out creatorsovereignty.com. That's what we're talking about. We're all there. One of the things that if we can maybe get like talk about vulnerability for a bit, I mentioned this on creatorsovereignty.com, is like investment. Right? Like how much does it cost? And this is like this tricky part of, especially where I'm at, I'm trying to explore something that I want to eventually share as a business. How do you get commitment from people if they're not investing in themselves? So my wife and I talk about this. She's like, you can't offer something for free. People have to put something in or else they're not going to care. And you're not going to care because you're the teacher. But I'm like, but it's not about money. I just want to explore this. And I trust these people I'm inviting. And so there's something energetically like there to talk about. And it's something that's been part of my humps as a solopreneur all these years, trying to figure out a business model that resonates with me, that doesn't give me ethical qualms, is how do you monetize? How do you monetize a product that comes from your heart that you know you don't care about money, but it's obviously something that needs to be addressed for our lives. But when we want to just give,
you're not helping anybody until you help yourself. You cannot really truly help others if you're not taking care of yourself first and foremost. And as far as what you're trying to do, it's beautiful. And I love, you know, you're passionate about it. You have a lot of skills and knowledge to share, and you're wanting to help give other people these skills and knowledge so they can really step into their own power. And that's a beautiful service. And as far as you, all right, your first one, I just want to get people here and do it. I don't, you know, charging them, I don't know how I feel about that. That is an interesting scenario, because I do believe in part of what your partner's saying, that yeah, if people aren't putting money into it, they're not going to care. They're not going to really be invested into it. The first time you do something, and if you're doing it with people that you're close to, like me and Stefano and whoever else you invited, then that might be something that, okay, yeah, this first time you really don't need to charge anybody, but if you get some donations, whatever that might be. And if, you know, let's say you help with something and then his business takes off, well, that's going to be,
he won't forget that.
He's not going to forget that.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a spokesperson for you. So,
and that's where my heart is. I trust everyone I'm inviting on. Now, when I'm announcing it live to whoever's listening, that might be another story. And you can think about that if you're listening to this and you're interested. But the truth is, like you, my friends at the beach, anyone I've told about this in real life, like I'm just straight up trying to sell my product. And I'm owning it. I'm being me.
Concept too. You know, yeah. You're like me giving my book away to a bunch of people. Like I've given my book away to a lot of people. I sent emails to people. Just like, I just wanted anybody that wants to take the time to read it, please read it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that initial getting the awareness out that, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I have to offer. And then, you know, once this group does it, we'll be telling other people about it. Yeah. I got these really awesome skills. I learned a lot from Jordan. You should do it as well. And then that second one, you know, maybe when you're charging, but, there is something to be said about, like, it's tough for me to ask, like, I want to give everything. Like, I just, the whole money thing, sometimes it's hard. You just want things to be free. But when it really comes down to it, the only way that I can really truly make as big of an impact on the world that I want to make is if I am looking out for me first. If I'm taking care of myself first and making sure that all my needs are met, I'm going to have a lot more availability and resources and mental energy and whatever that may be to truly help the people around me. Because if I'm stressing about money, I'm sorry, man, it's going to be a lot more difficult for me to connect with you deeply on some other level or help you with whatever it might be. And same scenario for you. If you're really stressing about how are you going to put food on your kid's table.
Well, but that's a state of mind. I decided 3 months ago I'm not going to stress anymore. It doesn't mean I have money in my bank account suddenly. And that's part of the hurdle for me is looking at this like a business. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, and so what it comes down to with me and my partner is like trust. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, let me ask you this. And Stefano, I'm really curious on your perspective on this. It's a 4-week mastermind. We meet two and a half hours per week for one day. 4 weeks commitment. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Other people are showing up. We're creating a space, a container together. What happens if there's a medium emergency? Do you show up to the call? What happens if there's a, you know, light, if it's a serious emergency? Okay. Extenuating circumstance. Yeah. What, this comes down to character. This comes down to the trust I have in inviting you to do this. I know you will show up. Mm-hmm. That's how I trust you. I see you in me. Cause that's how I am. Mm-hmm. If I commit to something, if I don't want to commit, I'll say it. Like, yo, I don't want to do that. It's, you know, sorry. I appreciate it. But yeah, that's a reflection I practice with you here. And I trust you in it. And so I would expect the same of all these people I'm inviting. But what happens in reality when life hits?
Right. So that's why I'm all about this too. I struggle with this too, because I have a series of meditations and I'm like I want to be able to help people feel different consciousnesses in their body. And that's, why would I ever charge for that? But I agree. I'd say there's always something to like charging something very basic, like $50, the whole package, $100. That way there's a physical buy-in. There's another level where like when you give, and I agree with you before, when you give money, you're giving your energy and it's proportional to your investment. And so there's also been times where, and this is going to sound different. This is going to sound different to people. I will put so much intention into something and I will value it so greatly that if I ever do give it to somebody or if I ask for it, it becomes more valuable, because it becomes like this in my head. I'm relating it to it so earnestly that that transpires across other people. So when you put your life's work on the line to create this creator sovereignty program, it's going to invite buy-in, especially if it's like limited to a certain number of people. It's going to say, this is select people. This is exclusive. That is going to naturally want to keep the container tight. It is a big deal when people don't show up. It does leak the container. It does, the amount of energy and inspiration and just emotional drive does go down. That's part of heading any sort of production. Like, you got to be able to withstand the emotional changes. But with that, I think like, if I'm ever deciding it's free and it could be worth $1,000 and I decide it's free, it's still worth $1,000 when I give it to people. And I can set an intention. The other option is you just enough to cover the very basic amounts. Is you can do like a $50 thing or a $100 thing, even though it's worth thousands of dollars, just to get that buy-in, that just that actual paper money buy-in, and you can actually use that money that you get just to provide more value for that experience, right? And that's something that that goes back to getting investors. If you get $5,000 from an investor, you want to give them $1,000, about 20%, like very directly back to them. And that generates a very strong bond and trust. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the route you're supposed to go is, you know, first you get someone to give you follow. They follow you. Right. Then they give you their email. Then there's a $20 or $40, you know, free product that, you know, the creator live streamed a few months ago. And now it's just, you know, putting it up there because it's valuable, but it's not free. And one of the last podcast episodes, a guy in Singapore, we talked all about this. He's like, if I used to think I was going to develop my whole career of free content on YouTube. And I soon realized that it's not even about the content. It's about me. I have to go out there and essentially put my money where my mouth is. I have to care. I have to show up. I have to be real for this. And so that's where, yeah. And so then after the $40 thing, you'd have a $100 thing. And then after that, you have like a $500 thing, and then maybe $1,000. And you just put them there. Who knows? Maybe someone will pay it. Right? And eventually you work that into where, I mean, I've seen a professional creator guy who shows other people how to become creators, $800 an hour for a one-on-one. And he worked his way up there. He says, start at $100 an hour, double it every 10 calls.
Wow.
And then you've worked your way to that. Mm-hmm. And there's no excuses. And by that time, your time is that valuable, mm-hmm. because you're doing all these things. Mm-hmm. And all your offerings start compounding your revenue every month. It's a little until suddenly it's a lot. This mm-hmm. is how it works. It's like this exponential growth. I think it's a really good, you know how I used the mycelium metaphor for the internet back in the day? Like, it's just this mycelium of human thought, like all around the world that can communicate. I feel I haven't figured out my analogy yet, but how the compounding exponential growth works when you're with your own solopreneur business is a lot like, I think, how we experience, I guess, abundance and joy. It's like you're working through it and suddenly you have a breakthrough, and suddenly it's like, boom, your heart is open, you know, and you're there. And then the only difference is you stay there, essentially, because if you're doing it right, it doesn't, you know, there's no return to baseline. The baseline is steady exponential growth forever. I mean, unless, you know, we lose the internet, you know, there's a huge nuclear thing or a solar radiation mm-hmm. thing. But anyway, circling back around, I trust, money, investment. I feel like every individual knows. This is what creatorsovereignty.com ends up as, is like, look, you probably know if you need to put money in this or not. You probably know your personality. And for now, make the decision. Mm. Recommended price is $200, $50 a week, pretty not too much of a, yeah, you're going to make content every day.
Yeah.
That's the homework. Yeah. And you're going to be with, it's a good networking opportunity. You're going to be with powerful individuals mm-hmm. that are right there with you. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a opportunity to explore your vulnerability.
If you join this first one, you're going to be hanging out with me and Stefano. So yeah.
This whole podcast is just talking about selling it now. But awesome. I think the concepts behind
dude, I mean, for the people that you didn't personally invite, they need to be paying for the service. I mean, you're providing a lot. I definitely understand, like, you wanting to get this little network of people that you know, you trust, like, hey, let's do this. Let's prove the proof of concept. But as far as people finding out about this through this podcast and be like, yeah, I think, you know, I could use that, or that might be of value to me. Don't let, you know, if you are financially struggling at the moment, I'm sure if you sent Jordan a message and explained your situation, that he'd be happy to, you know, let you join for, you know, whatever that might be, a sliding scale. But Jordan, honestly, I think the starting price at 200 is incredibly fair.
Reasonable, right?
I think that's incredibly fair.
That's fair. I didn't understand it was, yeah.
And yeah, and even if that, you know, 4-week course doesn't really resonate with you, again, like I said earlier, please support Jordan and his family. He's he's got a great heart and he's trying to do good things, and yeah, whatever we can do to keep this going. So hope you enjoy
right now to say exactly that.
All right.
Nice. So I just want to mention that this podcast is also about, like, how to bring ideas and, you know, education programs or any sort of that innovation into reality. Right. And I think this is, like, a lot of the questions, a lot of the explorations is just totally useful. If anybody's sitting on ideas and they're listening to this, I'll just speak for me. I totally encourage you to keep going, keep adding gas, keep giving it more emotional fuel, and see to it to the next level. You will find other people in your resonant field. And then when you have something really great to offer, with a lot of heart, and then you're surrounded by other people with something great with a lot of heart, it's just an awesome feeling. it's just everyone bringing something to the table, and it's a potluck on a different level. It's a king's potluck for sure.
King's potluck. I like
the king's potluck. We just call it that. Well, if it's all men, yeah, or the royal potluck. Yeah. Are we finished? Are we rolling down? We're quarter to 12.
It's quarter to 12.
The sun is shining. There's a beautiful beach down there waiting for us.
We got through probably like two or three of the.
I don't think we got through any of them.
We might have hit on one bullet point. We wrote some ideas on some subjects that we might talk about today. And yeah, I think we might hit mid one. But
I am just so fascinated.
More room for next time.
Yeah, there's always more room. I'm so fascinated with what it means now to become a creator online. So I'm just turning every conversation into that. So I would apologize for it, but I think there is value in the conversation.
There's definitely value.
And we got to wake up to it. Like, I'm like, how did I not wake up to this sooner? Because I wasn't awake to myself. That's it.
Right.
I was intimidated by myself, by my power, really. Mm-hmm. I was scared of my own power. Mm-hmm. Still
it's
am
infinite.
At times.
It's infinite.
It's infinite. And so we're going to see both of these two again, probably next Wednesday, same place, same time.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for tuning in. Apologies for the technical considerations, but I hope this was something you could easily listen to while you were doing something else. Please leave
comments as far as like what you liked, what you didn't like, if there's anything you want more of, or if you have any questions. If you want us to talk about something specific next time, put it on there.
And comments and likes also just help the algorithms show more people the content.
And please share.
Attention.
You know, if there's something in this podcast that resonated with you that you think, all right, man, he said something that actually resonated that might actually help me in whatever I'm doing, please share the podcast. Share this one, share last week's. But yeah, exposure. We're trying to really do big things and make positive impacts on the world, but we cannot do it by ourselves. We need support. So
it's big. And something I noticed is the more I like and share stuff, the more people like and share my stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's totally true. And so just plunge in and you'll find yourself attracting cool stuff for sure. For sure.
All right. You can check out Sovereign States of Mind on any podcast platform, any big one at least. We appreciate you leaving a review. And yeah, helping us generate attention all over the place. Share the highlight clips, support the show however you can. We'll see you next week.
We love y'all.
Thank you very much for listening. This podcast is available on all major apps. Please head over and follow there. And if you really like it, leaving a quick review and 5 stars is super helpful, especially on Apple Podcasts. SovereignStatesOfMind.com is a place you can put in your email to receive things to your inbox every week. These are updates, these are blog posts, anything related to this podcast and the theme of developing Sovereign States of Mind, SovereignStatesOfMind.com. You can also support the show there by becoming a monthly patron. My name is Jordan Erbs. You can find me on Twitter as Jordan Erbs, JORDANURBS. And I look forward to interacting with you and hearing a bit about your journey. If you're interested in coming on this podcast, don't hesitate to be in touch. Much love. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Sovereign States of Mind.